Welcome, everybody. I'm Jerry Harder. I'll be the local Dharma leader leading our gathering this morning, our sit this morning. And I'm going to be following along with the theme for the month, for the year is the Paramis, and for the month it's Sila, or ethical behavior. So I'll be continuing along with that. Thanks for gathering together. Thanks for supporting my practice and everyone else's practice. You're practicing yourself so that you're able to send ripples of mindfulness and caring to one another. As I mentioned, I'm going to be continuing on the theme of the Paramis today. In particular, the Parami of Sila, which is a Pali word that can best be translated as ethical behavior, morality, not causing harm. And just in terms of where I'm coming from in that regard, this has been a real opportunity for me, as sharing a talk this morning on Sila. In order to do that, I had the opportunity to really reflect on what does Sila mean to me? How do I connect with it? And that reflection carried me back to my childhood and to the present moment. I have a perspective that's been conditioned by different things. I'm a male, cisgen male, white. Basically, I had all the privileges that whites have, white males have. I kind of have all the privileges that are available. Grew up in America. Grew up in a safe family. Middle class, not a lot of money. Working class, blue collar, and Christian, in particular, Roman Catholic. So in that regard, that my Catholic upbringing has certainly shaped my views on Sila. As I speak today, from those perspectives, couple of things. I want to say, first of all, I hope that what I have to say today is of value. I hope it's I hope it's true. I think there's a potential that I could offend people intentionally or not intentionally, but unintentionally, because I might be touching on some sensitive territory. So we'll see how this goes. I'm not able to type these days, so I'm winging it. I was never able to. Sue's offered to be my scribe and type as I dictated, but anyway, that's not what's going to happen. So I have some handwritten notes, which are not well organized. I have 75 years of experience on this subject. Well, maybe 74. I'm not sure what experience I had in my first few years. And how it's going to be coming out of my mouth, wish us all well. This might be a little bit disorganized, and it might be very short because I'm not going to be able to bring to mind things as quickly as I would like. And as it pours out of my mouth, for all I know, I'm going to be coming across as a doddering old guy. So anyway, wish us all well, but I think I may have a couple of things worthwhile to say here. Sila, a couple of things I'm going to say. It's ethical behavior. It's a core. It's basic stuff. Without Sila, and generosity, what we talked about last month. Without those two, none of the other paramis make any sense, are of value. And it's, what is resolve? If the resolve aren't in the direction of generosity and sila. So it's a real foundation. And sila is also a real foundation. I made a reference in our sit to how we're living amongst ourselves. Yeah, I often like reflecting back to Carl Sagan's pictures that were taken during the Voyager exploration, whereas the Voyager satellites, whatever they be, Voyager missiles or whatever, were exiting the solar system, turned the cameras back at the Earth and took this picture. And it was a picture of many dots, the whole constellations. And in the midst of all those many dots, those galaxies, was a pale blue dot. That was Earth. That is Earth. It's the place that we all are living, that all generations of humans, animals, and living things on Earth are living. Such a small piece of the universe. We are so interconnected. We are so interdependent. Sila, you know, nothing other than sila makes sense for how we relate to one another. We're in this together. So, all right, here's where I'm not sure which direction I'm going, but I'm going to say one thing. So I feel I had my conditioning, my upbringing was very helpful in my formation in regard to how to relate to one another. You know, certainly there could have been room for improvements. I mentioned I was raised Catholic. My father was family's Catholic. My mother's wasn't. And that had, you know, it, I have some memories from that. And some of them, my bottom line is I have a great appreciation for my religious upbringing. You know, I often get pushback or, you know, people are annoyed by Catholicism. And I can share, you know, some of that. But in terms of sila, no, there's a couple of things that I really appreciate. It's how do we relate to one another with kindness? What does that mean? What does that look like? And yeah, certainly in regard to Christian beliefs, it's the Ten Commandments, you know, and I am the Lord thy God begins that way. Don't have strange gods before me. Remember, keep holy the Lord's day. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. All these guidance. And many of those, you know, are echoed in all the other religions. Some of them not so much. And some of them, you know, there's a ways that I appreciate the guidance I've got along those lines. But there's also ways in which I have reflected on those teachings and reconsidered them and come to different conclusions than the conclusion that I was given from my teachers. I would say in particular, you know, I think, you know, some of the, in regard to what are the consequences of not of not living a caring and ethical life. And I remember, oh boy, this is a good one. I got to get through this one pretty quickly. I don't want to dwell too much in here, but one of my first experience around ethical behavior, the Catholic Church has, here are the sins. These are the sins, and these are the consequences of your sins. And some sins aren't so bad. Lying, not too bad in general, disobeying my parents, not so bad. Killing, not good. Stealing, not good. And, so they have mortal sins and venial sins. And the consequence of venial sins is, it has its impact, and you need to ask for forgiveness and admit to them, and you're offered forgiveness. Mortal sins likewise. But here's the one that I catch on. As I was brought up, if I, under that religion, if I died with a mortal sin on my soul, that's how I was saying, I have mortal sins on my soul. It was like you had this little soul somewhere. Who knows where is that soul? And you had all these little dots on it. And if I died with a mortal sin on my soul, I would go to hell. So it really kept you in line, out of fear of going to hell. Well, as it happened, we have sacraments in the Catholic Church, sacraments of communion. Many of you probably know about communion, the Eucharist, confession, marriage is a sacrament. There's different sacraments, confirmation of the sacrament. Very important one is communion. And when I was in the second grade, I went to the communion for the very first time. So before I went to communion, you want to have a clear slate. You want this body and mind, using Buddhist terms, to be kind of purified for the receiving, the body and blood of Jesus. So I went to confession, I'm going to generalize the idea of admitting to, the idea of confessing, the idea of clearing the slate, I find is really helpful. And I did it as a Catholic, and I do it today as, I don't even, in terms of my Buddhist practice. It's really worthwhile to admitting to, and this probably wasn't the best idea. Sorry, I don't want to do that again. Well, okay, so anyway, I went to communion. Well, in order to prepare myself, I went to confession first, and then you're supposed to fast from midnight until you have your communion for the very first time. Big deal. All the kids are all dressed up, I forgot, I probably had a tie on, I forgot my, and the girls all had their nice little white dresses. It was a really cute thing. So, big deal. Well, the morning of my first communion, the night before, my parents had some friends over, and the morning of my first communion, there was a number of bottles of beer that were, in the living room, and I took a sip of beer before my first communion. I said, uh-oh, now what? So the pressure was on. The pressure was on. I needed to go to communion because, the social pressure. And this is worth considering. What do you do under social pressure? What decisions do you make? Well, the decision I made under social pressure as a 7-year-old was to commit a mortal sin. I was going to go to communion, not tell anybody that I did this. And I went to, and now I have a mortal sin on my soul. If I died before going to confession, I was going to go directly to hell. This is quite a weight on a 7-year-old kid. So I was just hoping, to make it worse, we went, the next day, all the second graders went to church and communion for a second time together. And the pressure was on again. Okay, I'm going to do it a second time. I have a mortal sin on my soul, which is not good. You know, so I didn't go to confession. So I'm spending a whole week there. We have the mortal sin on us, so hoping I don't die as a seven-year-old. And the nice thing was that at the end of the week, I went to confession. I confessed it. I got forgiven. That is so good. It is such a great idea. It's a great idea in regard to how we relate to Sila now, that we make mistakes. We can admit to them. And we forgive ourselves. And if we harmed others, there's value in say, hey, I screwed up there. There's value in admitting and acknowledging our shortcomings, but not in a way that we beat ourselves over the head and say, aren't I a terrible person? But in a way of reconnecting, of lightening our load in terms of feeling bad about causing harm to others. So anyway, I made it through the week, went to confession, all was good. I pretty much, continued on in my Catholic upbringing. But there was always that question. There was that question from then on. What's this God? How could God, send me to hell for eternity, for the rest of eternity, for doing something like that? And this is the reflection I had for the next quite a few years. It brought in question of, is there a God? And I don't want to offend anybody here. Everybody has their own beliefs. Everybody comes to their own conclusion. It's all fine. We're all just kind of navigating this life here. So 2 weeks from now, Easter Sunday is a very important anniversary for me. Easter Sunday is the most important day of the year in certainly Catholicism and my guess Christianity. It's not Christmas, it's Easter. It's the day that Jesus arose from the dead and after dying on the cross, that whole thing. It's a big deal. So going to church every Sunday was another thing that Catholics did. It was you don't go to church, that's also mortal sin. So I was on my way. I was an altar boy. I did everything. I should say I never had, of all the priests and nuns that I had contact with in all my life, they're all examples of kindness and caring, and all the stories out there of others of meanness and harm that has been caused. It wasn't my experience. So I just want, I'll in any time that conversation comes up, that's where I come from. But anyway, it's Easter Sunday, freshman in college. So I'm finally coming around to this notion of how could a God, send somebody to hell, period. Create life, and then have a list of things that if you do this, you're gonna be punished the rest of for eternity. That just flat out didn't make any sense to me. And then I'm also taking philosophy of religion for a number of reasons. My religious upbringing did not serve me. For a number of reasons, it did serve me, certainly in terms of Sila. But in terms of God, it did not. It didn't make sense. Yeah, it didn't make sense for for a God wanting to be adored. What kind of God is that? Why? I don't want to be adored. If I were a God, why? I don't need to be adored. So I'm just saying this. I hope, my guess is I could be offending people here, but hopefully not. It's kind of, we each have our own ways of thinking about this, and I'm not promoting or anything. But on the way to church, Easter Sunday, I said, I don't believe this stuff. I flat out don't believe this stuff. Whether there's a God or not a God, this is my point. Whether there's a God or not a God, what I do in life is exactly the same. It's sila. That wasn't the word I used. But the only important thing in terms of how to live a life was to live a life in regard to not causing harm. And for the most part, the Ten Commandments do a pretty good job. Sometimes they get a little harsh and shaming. It's that thou shalt not. But anyway, I stopped on the way to church, stood there for a bit, turned around, and went home. That was it. That was the end of my Catholic life. And the only time I went to church after that was to go to a wedding or a funeral. But sila remained. It's a cornerstone. It's not only part of the paramis, it's part of what Buddha taught. It's part of the Four Noble Truths. So that Buddha explored this. How do we live? What is this life that we're doing here? And he explored it. And he said, for one thing, there's suffering. It comes with the territory. People get sick, aging, and death. There is just a death close to me, excuse me. That's why I'm responding. So, Buddha explored this. There's suffering. It comes to the territory of being human. It comes to the territory of being a sentient being. There's loss. There is change. And so, there's impermanence, and part of the problem that causes the suffering, first of all, it's the physical suffering itself. That's suffering. You hit your hand with a hammer, it's going to hurt. But there's also the things that suffering, where we want something and can't get it, where we identify with ourselves. We want to look a certain way and we don't look a certain way, where we're being criticized. And, there's ways that identity with self creates suffering. And so there is an Eightfold Path. How do you relate to that stuff? First of all, know that type of wisdom, of the nature, that wisdom of there is suffering and there's, the cause of suffering, grasping. And then follow the path, of letting go of the grasping. And then there's the part of the Eightfold Path is sila. There's the wisdom. It's the wisdom aspect and sila aspect. And there's the mindfulness, samadhi act, the knowing. So this is where we're at in terms of these teachings, is to recognize that there's suffering. The recognizing that part of not suffering is to live a ethical life, to refrain from taking life, to refrain from causing harm to one another, to refrain from taking what does not belong to you, to refrain from using our sexual energy in a harmful way, to refrain from false speech or words that are going to cause harm, to refrain from intoxicating things which are going to cloud our mind and allow us to do things harmfully with a mindless energy. So sila, you know, the aspects of sila are right speech, right action, right livelihood. And acknowledging, you know, recognizing that, Pema Chodron, I think Sue's mentioned this, I think also Lyndall mentioned it, it's been coming up, but Living Beautiful, Pema Chodron talks about making a commitment, making three commitments. One commitment is just live an ethical life, do no harm, live for my welfare, the welfare of others, and leading to peace. Frame our lives that way. Create boundaries around the way our decision making, the way we act. You know, it's like, you know, I drive down the freeway or I drive over the Aurora Bridge. I can drive over that bridge pretty quickly because there's guardrails. I don't have to worry about falling off the edge because there's guardrails. Likewise, sila are guardrails of our ethical life. It's like it allows us to, rather than, you know, just worry and, well, what do I do in this situation? What do I do? How do I operate here? Well, we know we can be confident to operate within the framework of do no harm, within the frame for my life, and for my welfare, the welfare of others, and leading to peace. And that for my welfare is an important one. We can sometimes forget that one. Yeah, for my welfare. Yeah, when we have compassion, we are one of the sentient beings that's important to have compassion for. It's like, you know, you've heard the metaphor about, yeah, you put your mask on first before you're on the plane, before you offer it to your child. Likewise, if you're a trapeze artist, you make sure you're hanging on to that trapeze solidly before somebody flies to the air and you're planning to grab them. So before you support others, you have a solid foundation. So that's one of the, you know, boundaries. It's liberating. Having boundaries like that is liberating. And if you operate out of those boundaries, you have no regret. There's nothing you do that you can have regret for. And likewise, people have no reason to fear. Now, you might have regrets because you make mistakes. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But that's where the other part of the, you know, in the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, is the mindfulness part. It's the reflection part. So that you, the reflection and the mindfulness comes into place before you act, while you're acting, and after you're acting. So before you act, it's, oh, what's my motivation here? And so as we practice mindfulness, you can feel these inclinations of acting this way or that way. And you can reflect, oh, is this going to cause harm or is it not going to help? What's the best under the circumstances in relationship, in whatever you're doing? And then after the fact, well, how did that go? Reflecting after the fact. Because we can have the best intentions, but our intentions may not, our results of our intentions may be completely different. And that's certainly brought up anybody that's been looking at the issue of racism. We might have some best intentions, but often it can be that our impact might be very different. So it's worthwhile reflecting. How did that go? Oh, not so good. I shouldn't have been so honest about how that dress looked on her. You know, or you know, you can come up with any number of things, certainly something more dire than that. And our mindfulness practice is also You know, it's valuable right there in the process. You know, in the middle of an argument, disagreement with a friend, family member, person on the street. Oh, where am I coming from here? What can I say here or do here that's in the best interest of the circumstances? It's that intention. So, you know, Pima Children talked about the other vows or commitments is commitment to not cause harm. There's a commitment to serve, to care for one another, and a commitment to accept things, to be open to life as it is. To not, you know, okay, I'm not going to participate in that aspect of my mind or life. So being open. And that's a lot. But it's certainly as I read it, I'm inspired and I appreciate that offer and invitation. Okay. All right. How much more should I say here before we break into small groups? Yeah, maybe I should just cut it off on almost mid-sentence here. So, Sila, you know, our foundation. You know, it's our, can you imagine what life would be like on Earth if everybody did just that much? Just made that, I'm not going to cause harm. You know, what would Ukraine look like? What would Gaza look like? What would, you know, poverty look like? What would, you know, how would resources be shared? Yeah, it's a foundation. Yeah, an invitation to us all. Yeah, may we live our life for my welfare, welfare of others, and leading to peace. Thank you for your attention. Again, I touched on some things which I am quite aware that could be sensitive issues and annoying to some and maybe not to others, but I'm seeing people needed to go out the door here. So, yeah, thanks for those who are here. We're going to break into groups, small groups. I'm going to do it pretty quickly. And the one thing I didn't talk about is ethical dilemmas. You know, what do you do? You know, what do you do? What do you do when, okay, your government wants you to go to war and you say, no, that I don't want to cause harm. I have a whole story on that one too, but didn't have time. So I'm going to break us into groups. If you need to leave, fine. I wish you well. And I guess the question would be, in the small groups, consider ethical dilemmas around causing harm to one another, around lying, perhaps using speech, around, do you steal in order to feed your family? I don't know, wherever you want to go with that. And again, as we break into small groups, remember, it's not an opportunity to give advice to one another, but rather to share your own thoughts honestly and to listen full-heartedly without judgment. And you know, if you don't want to talk, you know, let people, you can show up there and, you know, turn on your video and let people know that, hey, listen, I don't feel like talking. It's okay if I can just be here, and that would be fine. All right. See you later. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Looks like we all appeared magically back here in the room. Anything come up that you guys would like to share? We have a few minutes here. Yeah, Judith.
I brought up the subject of guilt because I also was raised in a religion, Presbyterian in my case, went through very much the same process you did about, you know, what is this thing about hell? And it doesn't make sense. And so I did get a strong ethical core from that and from my family, but I also got a strong sense of guilt. I'm realizing And I'm just wondering about that. On the one hand, yeah, it's good to reflect on your actions and your speech and all of that, and was this good or not so good? But I don't know that the guilt is so healthy. It's like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person. I should have said this, or I shouldn't have said that, and that whole thing. And I find that pattern is in there. So I wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, I really like to explore that question. Thank you, Judith. It's a great one. Yeah, certainly there was a bit of that. And yeah, it doesn't do us any good to hit ourselves over the head for it. So there's a couple of things. One is, yeah, to recognize that was not helpful. But it's not helpful to hurt ourselves in regard to it. And that's where, yeah, I tried to mention that the value of forgiveness is so important. You know, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and it's hard to do. I have people they did something years ago that I still catch on. So yeah, I think forgiveness. You know, just remember that that's an important part of the whole system. And I'm not sure, there was things that drummed in. I think especially, around women, around sex, that morality thing. I don't like that word because of that, because it gets associated with that frequently enough. At least that's my perspective. So yeah, I guess, just upping the value of and necessity of forgiveness and to bring that into the practice, mindful practice. Neil, Lillian, if your hand's up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated what you brought up about the confession, the practice of confession. And I don't think I ever made that connection before in my mind between tradition. Like, I was not raised Catholic, but traditions that were tangential to my family growing up, like confession and then mindfulness practice. And I think in a way, when Nikhil and I sort of talk about things throughout the week, a lot of times it almost feels confessional because it is this, it's a moment to reflect. And one of us will say like, oh, hey, during that situation earlier, I noticed blah, 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 blah. And we kind of talk about like our perspectives on different things and we often bring mindfulness to it. And it's really helpful to me because it does create like a greater awareness of past actions and how those actions impacted others. I don't think I would have put that together with that idea of confession, but it helped me kind of see that clearly as a way to practice sila. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lillian. Yeah. That's such an important area. It's that combination at acknowledging, combination of admitting to oneself, to others, and saying it out loud. Hey, I'm sorry, and then, letting go. And that's, a lot of our practice talks about letting go. And I think that's what the forgiveness aspect is. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah, Suze.
I just wanted to bring up the what you had said earlier and also this thing about guilt of learning how to really make a sincere apology. And that sometimes our apologies come across as not really apologies. They're more defending our behavior. I'm sorry that you didn't like it kind of thing. So practicing around making a real sincere apology for the goal of understanding what happened in the interaction. I just think that's worth our spending time with. Just wanted to throw that in.
Thanks. That is an important point. Yeah. And then that part of you. Oh, yeah. Sorry that bothered you. It's your fault. So, yeah. That's it. There again, mindfulness. Yeah. Where are you really coming from? And is there a sincerity about connecting and amending? Yeah. Sally.
Thank you, Jerry. No offense, and I really appreciate your telling us about your Catholic background. I've had a burning question all my life, and putting it out here to see what you'll say, but do we have to learn sila, or is there, I struggle with this one, that I've always believed most of my life that people are good, you know, that kindness comes naturally, that generosity comes naturally, but I'm now reached a point in my life where I'm starting to doubt this. And so this idea that we need to grow up with rules to teach us how to be ethical, what would you say? Do we need to learn this? Is that part of being human?
Well, I guess it's an opinion on my part. I think it's, you know, good that you're reflecting that. We certainly are conditioned by any number of things, and a lot of our conditioning can be exactly opposite of sila. Yeah, we get conditioned to be greedy. We get conditioned to try to get whatever we want. So I think it would only follow that it's important to condition and to learn that which is helpful. Because sometimes our inclination of what is helpful, our intentions, acting out of good intentions, doesn't necessarily follow that the impact is good. So I don't think there's an answer there, other than it's a wonderful area of reflection and where mindfulness needs to come into play, and overall framing of, you know, do no harm for my welfare, welfare of others, you know, just again and again. And then there's learning, there's wisdom. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we learn with practice. Oh yeah, that wasn't helpful saying it that way. How about, you know, this way? So I think there's a learning. Yeah, and then I think there's probably a certain core, you know, sort of the way that we know, because we're sentient beings. Yeah, that hurts. So yeah. I guess that hurts others as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we're about out of time here. Anything else? Thank you. I left out. I didn't have enough time. After I walked away from the church that day, 3 years later, I was teaching religion at a Catholic elementary school. And that has a story in and of itself. So. Yeah. And it was during the Vietnam War, and you know, and that came up about, do we go to war? I asked the kids, do you kill? Does that mean you go to war? Anyway, thank you, everybody. And hopefully there's something I offered here that was of value, or something that you got out of your groups that was of value, and I apologize if there's any offense that difficulty has resulted from my words. So wish you well. Have a good week. See you soon.